Come on, give them a big welcome today.
It's good to be with you, as always. What a great week we had. How many of you enjoyed Thanksgiving with City Church? Yeah, it was a wonderful week. We served about 685 meals at the community center at St. Anthony's. And then we got some calls late in the day, and Dad and I talked, and we said, well, let's go to Denny's and let's pick some meals up and we'll deliver some more. So we gave over 700 meals out on Thanksgiving. Give the Lord a praise for that. Will you give Debbie a hand? She's just amazing. You know, when you do the will of God, when you walk in the way of the Lord, it's not always easy. How many of you know that there's demonic forces that the Bible describes that come against God's people as they do His work? Let me just say this to you. If you're coming up against the enemy, it means you're not working with him. See, if you're running with the enemy, he won't come up against you. But when you square him off, when you face him off, there'll be some opposition. There'll be some fight. And this week, as we prepared to have the biggest Thanksgiving giveaway that we've ever had, let me just say that there was a lot of people in need. People that would not have had a Thanksgiving dinner. The pundits would say, well, they didn't need it, or they had it, and they took that. Quite the contrary. The people who received from the ministry this week, they needed God's help. They needed His touch. I heard of so many testimonies of our delivery people praying for people, encouraging people, and that's what the church is called to do. Amen. Amen. But you'll get some opposition. You'll get some fight. You'll get some pushback when you go to do something great for the Lord. And this week we got some resistance, and not only corporately, but I believe that personally, when you're in the trench, when you're leading the charge, you get a little extra. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And this week I got a little frustrated. And I got a little frustrated for a few reasons, and I had a moment where I told God, what the heck are you doing here? Let's straighten it out, will you, Lord? You ever talk to God like that? I'm real frank, real frank. Get to know me, real frank. And my dad called me right at that minute, and he said something filled with anointing and power. He said, you want to get a taco? And I said, yay. And we went and got a taco together, and he began to just encourage me. And he began to speak life into me, and he began to live. How many of you know you don't need somebody to be a jerk when you're going through a moment of difficulty? You need somebody to look you square in the eyes and speak some life and power into your soul and into your spirit. And in that moment, he was that for me. I began to reflect, and that was like Tuesday, and I... And you get desperate when you're supposed to preach and you really don't have it all nailed down a week before. I begin to talk to the Lord, and he said, I gave you a word, and the word he began to speak into my life was this. When I was a boy, my dad, every time we'd fall down from life circumstances or from our decisions in life, you can get frustrated over both. You can make a bad decision. You can get a little embarrassed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Or life can just slap you up. You say, Lord, I had no part of this. This isn't from my decision making. You say, Lord, I'm frustrated. I'm irritated. When we were kids, we'd make a boo-boo, or, life would just come along. The life lessons that you learn. And I begin to reflect on some of those life lessons. When I was a boy, about 13 years old, my dad, we used to raise some cattle, and we were up on the barn floor, and the barn floor, there's a bridge that drives up to the barn floor. And on the other side of that wall in the barn, there's about a... I look back at you, Mr. and Mrs. Tom, and David and I used to crawl up through the hay mow and all kinds of craziness up there. My dad said, you get in the truck and drive the truck out. And it was a 5-speed. How many of you learned in a 5-speed? Come on. Yeah, there's some real people in here. I got in the truck, but instead of putting it in first gear, I put it in reverse. And I began to, instead of, Ryan, let your foot off the clutch nice and slow. Instead of doing that, I just boom. And thank God the truck stalled. And I was so embarrassed. I was so upset because my dad was standing behind the truck. And then a 30-foot drop off on the other side. I was so embarrassed. My pride was so torn down. I was so frustrated with myself. The first thought I had is, I'm never driving that truck again. And my dad had this statement when we were kids, and my brothers and I heard it well. And I think I've used it a few times on my own boys. He'd say these words, and I pray that you'll remember this. I pray that you'll speak this to someone in your life, someone in your circle. He'd say these words. He'd say, get back on the horse that threw you off. And at that moment, you know, get back on the horse that threw you off. At that moment, I wanted to shoot the horse. I wanted to beat the horse. I wanted to kick the horse. You know what I'm talking about. I didn't want to hear, get back on the horse and get back moving. I didn't want to hear it because I was embarrassed. I was frustrated. I had made a boo-boo. I had made a mistake, another funny story. How many of you mind my stories? You like the stories? All right, I'll share you one more. We were clearing this plot of land off. You could ask my dad. I had this vision. I had this dream. I said, Dad, why don't we clear, how many acres up there? 14 acres up on this side of this hill that it was just brush and all kinds of craziness. And we built a road. We brought in 250 ton of stone. We built our own road through this woods on the farm so we could work this field. And we began to push the brush up. We began to burn the brush, and we burned and burned and burned. And how many of you know on the farm, you don't just start a little fire. You get some gas and you get some diesel and you make it happen. Come on, farmers in the room. We made it happen. Well, in the process of making it happen, I was the one responsible for getting the gas and the diesel on the fire. Oh, you love this, don't you? And he said, now make sure you mix the diesel and the gas 50-50. More diesel than gas, Ryan. Just make sure. You did that, right? You mixed it, right? Oh, yeah, I mixed it. I mixed it good, Dad. I really mixed it. And I threw the gas and the gas on the fire, and I didn't understand why he kept telling me what he kept telling me, and he lit the fire, and this is what happened. It blew up in his face. Now, this is 3 days after it had happened. That fire blew up in his face. It could have killed him. And at that moment of learning, in that moment of those circumstances and those decisions. See, again, it can either be a circumstance or a decision. Some of you are in moments of circumstance that you didn't create. You had nothing to do with the circumstances you're in. But sometimes decisions create circumstance that lead to frustration. And you say, let me pull the blankets over my head. I'm done. I quit. Frustration. And this week, as I begin to think on this, I said, Lord, I understand now what you want me to share. I understand. And he began to correct me and say, I don't want you to speak on frustration, because it's not that you're, it's not, Ryan, the frustration you feel, it's the weakness in the frustration that you're feeling that I want to speak to. It's not that you're just frustrated. It's that you're weak in that moment. It's that you're weak in that. It's that you don't you lose your sense of pride. You lose your sense of dignity. You lose that sense of I got it handled all on my own. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you enter into a moment of weakness, a season of weakness, that if you're not careful, you'll quit, you'll faint, and you'll just throw in the towel and you'll move on. You know, our Heavenly Father is the same way. My dad, when I blew that fire up in his face. It's funny now, like, I think to myself, what in the world? But in that moment, my dad never got mad at me. Never got mad. I thought to myself, man, he's got to think I'm trying to kill him. Never got mad. And you know, our Heavenly Father's the same way. That when we walk into seasons of frustration and aggravation and times of turmoil and struggle, that God's not there with a big bat ready to beat you over the head and ready to just pour salt on the wound. God stands in heaven, the Heavenly Father that you believe in, the Holy Spirit that you have engaged with already this morning, just walks along. You might have hurt him. You might have wounded him. He might even pause for a second and say, man, there's a better way. But he just walks up. He picks you up off the ground, dusts you off, and says, get back on the horse. In that moment of weakness, in that moment of turmoil, in that moment of hardship, he says, get back on the horse. So as I begin to speak to the Lord, you know God will speak to your heart. If you pause, if you pause a minute, if you freeze a second, if you'll just let life stop for a minute, he'll speak to your heart and to your spirit. And this is the scripture that he gave me for this house and this time and this season. It's in 2 Corinthians in verse 12, and it says, chapter 12, verse 6, it says these words, if I had a mind to brag a little, I could probably do it without looking ridiculous. And I'd still be speaking plain truth all the way. But I'll spare you, the Apostle Paul says. I don't want anyone imagining me as anything other than a fool that you'd encounter if you saw me on the street or heard me talk. Because of the extravagance of those revelations. And so I wouldn't get a big head. I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. See, I started by saying, you'll come up against some forces. You'll come against some rulers in dark places. And that's what the Apostle Paul is describing. But he says, what he did, in fact, is push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift. See, when you fail and you have a moment of frustration and weakness and turmoil in your life, you don't think of it as a gift, do you? I don't. And the Apostle Paul says, I beg God to remove it. Three times I did it, and he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. See, we teach young men and young women, be strong, be mighty. Do it on your own. Make it happen. But the Apostle Paul says, his grace is enough. My strength becomes perfect in weakness. So should we embrace our strength? Or should we embrace our weakness? He says, once I heard that, I was glad that it happened. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving into my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride. with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. Anybody had any bad breaks lately? I just let Christ take over. So the weaker I am, the stronger I become. I want to minister out of the subject this morning. Your weakness is working for you. Would you bow your heads? Father, in Jesus' name, as we minister your word, we bind every spirit, every demonic spirit that would hinder the word from going forth. Father, send the kind of anointing that we've been around that makes preaching and ministry easy. Father, fall afresh in this place. Father, fall anew in this place. And we'll thank you. There'll be no flesh glory in your sight, but all the praise will be yours this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Your weakness is working for you. Number one, my first thought, when you are weak and seem out of options, God brings an opportunity. The Apostle Paul says these words, "At first I didn't think of it as a gift, but my strength comes into its own in your weakness." God is saying, when you've got no other options, when you got no place to go, when you're backed in a corner and got nowhere else to go, all of a sudden my strength steps in and provides a way of escape that you never saw coming. When you're out of options, when you're out of places to go, when your back's against the wall, all of a sudden God's opportunity comes rolling out. As long as you have it handled, you are your option. When you have no options, God turns your obstacle into an opportunity and God becomes your way of escape. Most of us wouldn't be here if we didn't run out of options. You know, I look around the room and I could tell story after story after story of people that their back was in a corner. They were out of options. They were out of places to go. And here they came marching in to the house of the Lord, all for God to give an opportunity to make a way where there seemed to be no way, to fight a battle on our behalf, to give an opportunity that we didn't deserve. In Exodus 14 and verse 11, it says these words. I love this. It says, Moses, the people turned against him. And they said, "You brought us here to die in the desert because there wasn't enough graves in Egypt. Why did you make us leave Egypt?" You know the story. "Isn't this what we told you while we were slaves, to leave us? We would be better as slaves in Egypt than dead in the wilderness." But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch and see the wonderful way the Lord will rescue you today. Whenever you're outnumbered, whenever you're out of resources, whenever you're closed in, that is the moment of your strength. That is the moment of your opportunity. When you rest in weakness, God's opportunity to perform a miracle steps in on your behalf. If you have a problem, you've got the power. If you have an issue, God's power steps in. If you have a difficulty you can't handle, all of a sudden, you've got the power. Tell your neighbor, "I've got the power." I know what you're thinking right now. "I've got the power." Stop running from weakness and start running to Jesus. And let me tell you something. You might be embarrassed. You might have to swallow some humble pie. You might have to tiptoe around on glass for a minute. But if you'll do it and you'll just press in, "I was glad when they said unto me, let me go into the house of the Lord. I might look like a fool, but I won't stop with my praise. I won't stop with my worship because I know on the other side there's a miracle on my behalf." I love that scripture in 2 Chronicles 20 where they're in a position, they're in a place, King Jehoshaphat is in a position where he's got nowhere to go. There's three armies that are coming against him, and all of a sudden God steps in and he says these simple words. He says, the battle you're facing, the enemy you're facing, the issue you're facing, it's not yours, it's mine. Let me step in on your behalf. All you have to do is worship.
That's all you got to do. Moses said the same thing. He said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You might be embarrassed today, but there is a realignment happening in your life. There's a realignment happening in your home. There's a realignment happening in your church. There's a realignment happening in your son. There's a realignment happening in your daughter. If you'll stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And there's people, I'm tough, I'm rough, I'm gruff. The toughest people I've ever met. They all come to a place where they say, God, I need you. I can't do it without you. Isaiah 40 says, even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall into exhaustion. You know the scriptures. But those who trust in the Lord, how many of you trust him this morning? They'll find new strength. We have to realize our only true option is God himself. I read last week to you about Hebrews 10, and I continued this week into Hebrews 11, and it describes Moses' life. He had a choice. He could have lived in the palace. He could have avoided difficulty and pain and heartache. But the scripture says in Hebrews 11, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. You might be weak right now, but when you're out of options, God brings an opportunity, and the calling of God is on your life. Number one, when you're weak and seem out of options, God brings an opportunity. How many of you want that opportunity from him this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Number two, if you've been around my dad for any amount of time, Brad, the sons of the church, Ben, and my brothers, and I'm sure many of you have heard it. He uses this statement. Jerry, you've heard this statement. He'll say, get moving. How many of you have heard him say that? He'll say, get moving. Yeah, Joe Buckley, you've heard him say that. He'll say, get moving, get moving. Do you know that's Hebrew? It's a joke. In Exodus 14, it says these words. I love this. When I read this week, I said, man, I've heard that my whole life. Then the Lord said to Moses, quit praying and get moving. Use your rod. Hold it over the water and see the sea will open up a path before you, and all the people of Israel shall walk through dry ground. My second point, even in weakness, keep it moving. There's a time to be frustrated. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to be sad. There's a time to pray. There's a time to fast. There's a time for everything under heaven. But there is a time to say, I might have gone through this. I might have faced this thing, but I am not this thing. I'm moving on. I'm getting it moving. I'm keeping it moving forward. Loss, pain, frustration will only stop you if you stop doing what God has called you to do. And let me say this as a son of this ministry and a son of the kingdom of God, not just here, but all over. I've seen it in ministries. Moment of frustration, moment of sadness, moments of difficulty, all for a person to get up and walk away from God. The only way that the enemy will stop you is if you stop doing what God has called you to do. His purpose for your life is for you to keep it moving. You know what trauma does? It causes a daze or disillusionment. You don't even know where you are. See, Moses had a choice in that moment when the children of Israel got backed in a corner. He could just stand. You ever go through something and you don't even know what day it is? You don't know what time it is? You don't know what you ate? You don't know if you did eat or didn't eat? You didn't know what was happening? You are in a state of disillusionment. Come on, somebody, this morning. The Lord wants you to step up out of that disillusionment. disillusionment and get back to the will of God for your life and keep it moving. Somebody in here, you've slowed down. You've stopped up. Even when I'm talking, you say, don't talk to me that way. I was hurt. I was battered. I was bruised. I can't get back up and get going. I speak to that spirit in this place this morning. Young man, young woman, man, woman in this house this morning, get it moving. Get it moving. That's the Holy Spirit's word for your life, to keep it moving. Give the Lord a praise if you believe it. If you're not dead, you're not done. Keep it moving. Philippians 3:14 says, I press towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I ask you the same today, as a representative of Jesus Christ today, I ask you, I plead with you this question. Please, keep it moving. Thanksgiving, we had a choice. It would have been so easy. COVID, we just want to be careful. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, we're going to cancel. We're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying. You've seen it. You've heard it. We had a choice. And you've got to make a choice. No, I will not stop. I will not pause. I will not retreat. I will keep it moving. Don't faint. Do not faint. I love this scripture. The Lord gave it to me this week. Revelations 3 and verse 10. I believe this is a word for today. It says these words, because you have obeyed my commandments to persevere, I will protect you from a great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. It's not a test for you. If you persevere, it's a test for the world. He'll protect you. He'll keep you. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown, your victory, your salvation. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of God, and they will never leave it. And I will write on them the name of God, and they will be the citizens of that new city of God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from God. And I will also write on them my name. But the whole thing hinges on one thing. Keep it moving. Don't quit when it's hard. It's not time to stop. It's not time to close. It's not time to shut the doors. It is time to keep it moving. God has something wonderful for our life. I read this story in Forbes this week. I love to read about business. I read this story. This woman, I got her name somewhere. I can't find it in my notes. Sarah Blakely. She started this business called Spanx. I have no idea what Spanx are, nor do I care to be honest with you. But some of you do. And she wrote this article that spoke to me so strongly. You read the article. She goes to person after person after she starts this business. And she says, I was at my wit's end. I was at the end of my rope. She said, I met with this person from Neiman Marcus. And the woman said, we're not interested. We're really sorry. We're glad you came. And she said, I looked at her, and I knew in that moment I couldn't just give up. I couldn't just wrap it up. I had to keep it moving. She says, I asked the woman, would you do me one more favor? This person who held the key of whether this company would progress or it would be over. She said, will you please come and at least try a pair of these on? And the woman said, well, I guess I would do that. Well, will you come right? She said, you want me to come right now? She says, yeah, I want you to come to the bathroom with me right now and try these Spanx on. You want to talk about persevering. You want to talk about pushing. And women, I want to share this message for you because this is a time for you to kick your man in the rear and say, keep it moving. And she took that woman from Neiman Marcus into the bathroom, and that woman put the Spanx on. And that day, the woman from Neiman Marcus signed a $1 billion contract with a startup company. And God wants to do the same in your life.
But the only way is if you keep it moving. My last thought, and I'm done. Even in weakness, you have to give thanks. When you win, it's not just the time to give thanks. You know, winning for some people, success for some people is a total trap. When they're low, when they're in a tough spot, they'll be the first one at church and the last one to leave. But God begins to bless them just a little bit, and you know what they do? Oh, I got this. I got it handled. We don't have anything handled. It's not a moment to say, oh, we got it. Now Moses gets to the other side in Exodus 15. His sister represents, he's tired. When you lead, you get tired. When you're the guy out on the front line, there's moments where you get tired. His sister steps in, and she begins to thank the Lord. I didn't read it in the first service, but let me read it to you now. It says, sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have been drowned in the sea. She represented her family. I love that with all my heart. There are going to be times where people are exhausted. They're tired. Maybe they won and they just ran off. You have to thank God when he performs a miracle and when you go through traumatic situations. You say, Ryan, how do I give God thanks in traumatic situations? I'm glad you asked that. There's three ways. Moses stayed thankful by remembering what the Lord had called him to. Let me just remind you of something. Moses' journey starts when the Hebrew starts to pick on the Egyptian. You remember? He killed the man. You know what he was called to in that moment? I really felt this. He was called to be a defender of the Hebrew people. Maybe he got a little out of context. Maybe he didn't need to kill the guy. Maybe he just slapped the guy around a little bit. But he had to remember what God had called to him. He had another remembrance, the burning bush moment. In that moment, in those moments of difficulty, he had to remember what God had called him to. And I want to tell you the same. God has called you. God has equipped you. God has anointed you to do the work of the ministry and to walk out your calling. If it's difficult to give him thanks because you're in a weak moment, remember what God has called you to. The second way that you can remember what God has called you to is that you can name it and share it. I love this. I love this. You can name it and share it. Here's what we did on Thursday. As a family, I before we ate, I said to the family, I said, I want everybody to share something that they're grateful for. I'll tell you, it was such a God moment. It was such a Holy Spirit moment because everybody, what are they going to tell me? No, they're in my house. They're going to name it and share it. And everybody began to name something that they were grateful for. You know what began to happen? Even in a moment of weakness, every eye in that place began to weep. When you name and share what you're grateful for, all of a sudden, your gratitude is awakened in your life. In the last way, if you're in a moment of weakness, and you say, Ryan, it's so difficult to be grateful. You know what's helped me in a tremendous way? I mean a tremendous way it's helped me. Samantha and I, every morning together, we read the Psalms in the Proverbs. We do 30 days of it, and it takes us, the Bible app takes us through all of the Psalms and all of the Proverbs. I got to tell you, it's super, super difficult to be ungrateful when you've recited the Scriptures into your spirit. Garrett and Debbie, would you come? When you speak the Word of God into your life, into your spirit, into your situation, all of a sudden that gratitude comes right out of nowhere. The first thing you do when you're in a moment of weakness is you remember what God's called you to. And you remember what he's doing. And lastly, you remember the scriptures that he's spoken over you.
Can we bless his name? Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes with me and bow your head in just a moment as we just reflect on this, a moment in our weakness. God strengthens you. He's working something out in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your despair, in the middle of your weakness, your middle of your sadness, your depression, your anxiety. He's working something out. You don't run from it. You run to him. Some of you need to make that decision today to run to him by giving your life to him. I'm not talking about just being a church attender. I'm speaking about giving your life to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the one that we celebrate this season. Garrett said at one of the services that we can't forget the sacrifice when we think of the gift. And this is a gift that he wants to give to each and every one of us because of the sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us. You can give your life to him by just saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Forgive me of my past, my faults, all my mess ups. Live inside of me today. Some of you today, just eyes closed, head still bowed. Those of you that are watching online, same thing. Some of you today, you're dealing with depression. You're dealing with anxiety, maybe an addiction, a loss. Fear has overwhelmed you and consumed you. He wants to help you in the midst of that. He's not here to condemn you. God is not mad at you for something that you have done or haven't done. He loves you, and he's here to lift you up. So I pray for each one today, no matter what place that they find themselves in, that you would give them peace, you would give them grace, you would give them hope. I pray freedom to come over someone's life today. And I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. Hasn't it been great to be in his house today? Hasn't it been great to be with us even online today? I think the coffee truck is still out there. I want to say in particular thank you to each and every one of you that have been faithful in your giving. I just cannot tell you how grateful we are. We have endeavored through this entire season to keep doing what we're doing every single day. And we're going to keep on doing it, and we're going to get moving even more. Come on, how many of you just say amen to that? We're not going to stop. You know the world wants you to stop. Yes, we have to use some wisdom. We have to make some changes. You know, we didn't have our Thanksgiving dinner inside the Generation Center this year. We were handing the meals out. We were running them across the street and handing them, putting them in people's car, delivering them. But we don't have to stop. We don't have to stop being a blessing to people, do we? We don't have to stop. We can still move forward, do it with the right parameters, and God will help you. He is with us today. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord grant you his favor and his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Go in his grace today.